All right, Acts chapter 4, in our study of Acts, and I do believe we're going to be able to nail a whole chapter today in the morning hour. Famous last words in this group, right?
I got a question.
Hold that thought. Acts chapter 4. So Acts 2, you know, Peter picked up right after the ascension of Christ into heaven. You know, Peter preaches the first time. Acts 3 is right behind it, and he's preaching the same thing, which is basically, that man you killed back there on the cross, he is both Lord and Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And let's just make that the theme, if you will, of what he's been preaching so far. Then in Acts 3 also, Peter and John are going into the temple, and they heal, well, God heals through Peter and John, through Peter touching the lame man, who's been lame since birth, and he's healed, and they take him into the temple. The people see him. They're all astonished. And then we get to chapter 4, where we are today. So let's pick it up right here. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So make sure you see who's coming on them now. The priests, the captain of the temple, the ruler of the temple, if you will, and the Sadducees, they come upon Peter and John here, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. Okay, so we see the church is growing here, the early church that Peter and the 12 have started. It's growing. Some people say this is an additional 5,000 to go with the 3,000 back there in Acts 2, verse 41. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So either the 3,000 grew to 5,000, or there's a total of 8,000, but who cares? I mean, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. So there's between 5,000 and 8,000 believers in the church at this point. The point is, it is a, you know, for as early as it is, it grew pretty quickly. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, so the high priest is here, right? And Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So you see again, we are at Jerusalem here in this passage still. We have not left Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And this is the healing of the lame man back there in Acts chapter 3. So how did you do that? Then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Okay, so just to put it in context again, who we're talking about. It's the rulers of the people. And in your King James Bible, in the book of Acts, the people is a reference to the Jews and the church that Peter and the 12 are starting at this time. So it's the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. Verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, lame man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Once again, context, the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Of course, back in Acts 3, we saw that in Acts 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead in 3:15. Keep seeing that phrase in early Acts. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Brother Jerry did a great study on that. I think it was two potlucks ago up there in New Brunswick. I think there were like 10, 12, 15 times in the first few chapters of Acts where that phrase is used. God raised him from the dead. So back to 4:10. Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man, Peter, stand here before you, or the lame man, stand here before you whole. This is the stone that Christ is the foundation. Now, this is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Keep your hand here because this is our study today. But flip back to Matthew 21. That phrase that we just read in verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and picking it up in verse 42. Matthew 21, 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected. So get that reference here. The stone that the builders rejected. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marveled in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. But you saw in 42 there this same reference to this stone, okay, the chief cornerstone, if you will. So back to Acts 4. Acts 4 and in verse 11, when he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And of course, Paul even makes reference to the same thing. Okay, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the boldness of Peter and John. And remember back there, around the crucifixion, because we're just a couple months after. Remember at the crucifixion, would you have used the word boldness to describe the 12 apostles, any of them? You know, they were cowering. Not cowards, they were cowering. You know, they were staying hidden, for that matter. Actually, Peter did deny him three times, right? Okay, the apostles were afraid for their life. But after the ascension and they're given the gift of the Holy Ghost, they've got power now. And they have the boldness and the confidence. Think about yourself maybe in your occupation. You know, if you were to go to the job, work one day and you weren't really ready for it, or if you had an assignment, or if you went to school and you didn't do your homework, you weren't prepared for the day, whether it's school, whether it's your job, you know, you don't have the confidence, do you? But boy, when you're well prepared and you studied hard, you come with that boldness, you come with that confidence. And the apostles now have that confidence because they have the gift of the Holy Ghost.
They have knowledge too from the Holy Ghost being in them based on prophecy and all that.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it Peter that was told by Christ that he was going to be old?
That he was going to be old?
Yeah, I thought that was... Christ had made a reference about his age, referencing him to be old, meaning that he was going to live a while.
Okay, you've got me on that one right now, but no question that he got the knowledge, you know, during the 40 days that the Lord Jesus Christ spent with the 12, you know, after his resurrection, before his ascension, and he opened up their eyes for sure. Okay, so verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Don't forget that phrase. Even at this point now, Acts 4, the 12 apostles, that's them right there. They are unlearned and ignorant men in the eyes of the rest of the Jews. Okay, so they weren't, you know, the Lord didn't go out, the Lord Jesus Christ on earth didn't go out and pick the wisest guys he could find, the guys that knew the most, the guys that had the best education. They were unlearned and ignorant men. Okay, so make no mistake about that. The Lord can use any of us. Okay? So in the middle of verse 13, the unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You know, they see the guy walking, and they've seen him for 40 years at the gates of the temple, right? So how can they speak against it? They know this guy's been lame 40 years. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men, Peter and John? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Okay, so the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the synagogue here, they realize, okay, we got a little issue here. The man definitely got healed. Everybody knows he was lame from birth. This isn't good for us. It's not good for our message. Kind of interesting the way people think about things, isn't it? Nothing new under the sun. It's no different today. And so they're going to command Peter and John, okay, don't tell anybody else about it. Like, that's going to make a difference here. So verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Come on, guys. God did this. We're going to continue to say what God Almighty did. You know, do you really think we're going to listen to you over what God the Father has done? Never mind what He said. He did it, and everybody saw. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So there's your verse right there. So back there at the beginning of chapter 3, if you flip back to Acts 3, verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John asked about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, so if you come down to verse 7, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Okay, so that man right there, this is the man we're talking about in Acts 4, verse 22. He was above 40 years old. So that's how you know, just following the story right through, that the man was at least 40.
And where is that?
422, where the man was above 40 years old.
The man, though, was that, where were you referencing?
Oh, Acts chapter 3, the whole beginning. You could even put like 1 through 10.
It didn't reference his age until now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
So it was Acts 3, 2 is where I literally started, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. But I would say Acts 3, 1 through 10 is the first introduction of that man. So that's what's been carrying, that's the story that's carried on through the rest of Acts 3 into Acts 4. And everybody, all the people now in the synagogue, as it says at the end of chapter 4, verse 21, for all men glorified God for that which was done. That which was done was the healing of that man. By the way, just real quick here, jump ahead, Acts 5. So, again, counterfeits. How do you recognize counterfeit $100 bills? Learn what a real $100 bill looks like. How do you recognize counterfeit tongues? Learn what real tongues look like. Acts chapter 2, we saw that. They were speaking in real languages. That was the gift of tongues. How do you recognize counterfeit healings? Recognize true healings. So we see Peter and John heal that one man, but watch ahead in Acts chapter 5 and Let's pick this up in verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Come down to verse 15. Insomuch, we're skipping the parentheses. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Now get a good visual picture of this in your mind. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Stop for a second. Stop reading. Picture it out here. I mean, people know that Joe, at Genuine Joe's Coffee House, you know, they're having a healing service today. And they bring all the people out here and put them on beds all up and down the streets out here. Just so much that the shadow of Peter just walking by would heal them. That's what they thought in their minds. That's all it would take. Just the shadow of Peter. Well, let's keep reading and see if that's really what happens or not. Think about that again in reference to what you see today on TV. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many?
Every
one. Not one or two, or the one that, you know, somebody knew ahead of time, well, we can make this guy look. Every single one of them was healed, gang. This is true healing. That's why I'm saying, I'm trying to show you how counterfeit this stuff that we see going on out there today. Thank you for, because we've got, thanks for keeping us in line. That helps. You get the picture, though. I mean, you can get real wound up about this because the multitudes of people today that are deceived by counterfeit religion, counterfeit healers, people that fall for this stuff. And you say, how can that happen? But it does, because it's the course of this world. But they watch TV and they watch guys like Benihana on there. And they watch him heal one, you know, come up here, let me bat you on the forehead. Well, just the shadow of Peter healed these people, every single one of them. Now, we know why. Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you understand where that power came from. Always remember, in the name of identifying true healings, why were they being healed? You know, part of it was to be a sign to those Israelites, right there, that this is of God. But the other is, remember what Peter said. So first, let's, again, put a marker in Acts 4 there. Let's come ahead to 1 Peter. So after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, you get to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you've gone too far.
So the first reason for the Holy Spirit to work through Peter and John was because the Jews required a sign.
Because the Jews required a sign. 1 Corinthians 1, 22, 23 in there. The Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Jews had to see something visual to help them believe. Thank you. Now, watch the other thing that Peter is doing with the people that are being added to this church. Need too many fingers here, Clay. I want to make a statement before we read. If I can borrow one of your fingers, please. Let me make a statement before we read 1 Peter chapter 2. When Peter stands up in Acts 2, remember when we studied this a couple weeks ago, the first thing he says is, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Thank you. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And what is it that Joel prophesied? What did Peter think was coming?
Of the kingdom.
And he knew that before the kingdom would be the 7-year tribulation, right? And so he quotes Joel chapter 2, verses like 22, 23 to about 28. And it's all about this 7-year period of great tribulation, because that's when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth, is after the 7-year trip. Peter thinks that's coming. Alright, now. Now we'll read First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And watch how Peter addresses these people. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Okay, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Okay, you can let go of that. And actually, you can go to Leviticus chapter 21. So,
where is it on the timeline, this First Peter?
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing here. So when Peter stands up in Acts 2...
1:6.
When he stands up in Acts 2... And he says, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter thinks he's right here. Okay, he thinks he's right here. We know that there's this... The whole program got interrupted, right? The dispensation of the grace of God. From Acts 28 until the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ. We know that Romans to Philemon covers this time period. Today, the year 2013 is in here. We're somewhere in these parentheses. When this happens, the calling out of the body of Christ, the seven-year trib starts. Now the books of Hebrews through Revelation tell you about the doctrine for that time period. First Peter comes after Hebrews, before Revelation, it's in here. It's the doctrine for this time period. What's going to happen? Today the Jews are lo ami, not my people, right? We Gentiles, we're helping build the church which is the body of Christ. Whenever somebody gets saved, they are put into the church which is the body of Christ. But when this ends, the Jews will know. Okay, the Jews will know that they're in this time period. Now, what Peter just said kicks in. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, we just read in verse 9, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. As the royal priesthood, they're the ones that are going to carry the doctrine to the people on earth at that time. Okay? Question. Everybody good? Okay? Now, if they're going to be priests, again, we're talking about why healings? Why the purpose of healings? Now back to Leviticus chapter 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 21. Here's the other reason for healings in your Bible. Because those Jews are going to be a royal priesthood. And in this time period, to be a priest, here's what kicks in. Verse chapter 21, starting in verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Okay, now Aaron is the chief. Aaron and the Levites are the priests, right? Okay, the chief of priests. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Okay, so this is why there's going to be healings. Verse 18, for whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or a lame. Acts chapter 3, what was wrong with that man at the gates of the temple? He was lame. And he was lame for how long? 40 years since his mother's womb, since birth. He's been lame. Why did he... So, just you think about that man as you read this passage. So a blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crooked-backed, or a dwarf, or he that, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the Most Highly and of the Holy, only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel. Okay? If you're going to be a priest and you can't go into the temple, how can you be a priest? You can't, is the answer. Again, the reason for healings. Okay? How do we identify counterfeit healings? By recognizing what real healings are in the Bible. Peter told these people, you know, he said it here in Acts 2, 3, and 4, but he thinks he's here. He says, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood. We are going to therefore conclude Leviticus 21. Because you're a royal priesthood, you cannot have a blemish. Because if you have a blemish, you can't go into the temple and do the service of a priest. Therefore, they had to have healing so that they could be healed and be part of that royal priesthood.
So, having a sign and also thinking that they're at the beginning of the 7 year, they bring in the prophecy of Leviticus and say, we're healing people because they're priests, they're a chosen vessel, and in order to get in here, you have to be blemishless.
Exactly.
So they're looking at it as though it's right at the beginning of the 7 year, and they're healing these people for those two reasons.
For those two reasons. So again, the two reasons, it's a sign to Israel that this is of God Almighty. The Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay. The second thing is, they're going to be a royal priesthood. They're going to preach to the people. But anybody that had a broken leg could not be preaching to the people. They could not go into the synagogue. They could not go into the temple. Okay? So everybody clear?
So there must be a lot of... So look at the churches now. They say that they have a priest inside of the building. And the guys are wearing glasses.
Exactly. What I was thinking of is you're starting to tell this. The priests with glasses, right? If you're in a church that believes in healings, and they use the term priest usually, and he's got glasses on, you want to go, how can that be?
Yeah, they designate themselves.
Yeah. They totally miss the whole... Again, it's counterfeit, right? Yes.
Hebrews to Revelation, when was that written, like, parallel-wise with Romans 2 Philemon?
Oh, you mean... Okay, so when was it physically written?
Yeah, so, like, when was that going on versus Romans 2 Philemon going on? Like, where did those two match up? Like, as Peter's going along and Paul's going along, because one's doing one program, one's doing another program, so, like, I'm just wondering how they, not overlap, but...
Are you saying that this Hebrews, let's say, 9... Or the book of Hebrews. Is that a prophetic? Is it written in prophecy?
Yeah, I'm just wondering where it happened in time with Romans, the Philemon. So, like...
There's definitely some overlap. Okay? Because, for instance, Hebrews, James. James would have been the first New Testament book written historically. Okay, so it was most people think it was around Acts chapter 8. It's when the book of James was written.
James?
Yes. Right. Definitely written before the four Gospels, before the book of Acts, before any of Paul's writings. So James was the first one written in time.
So that was prophecy as well.
Absolutely. It becomes the doctrine out here. So in Acts 2, when Peter started preaching, Acts 2 to 9, you've got Peter and the 12 in that church, and then it starts gradually falling off until Acts 28. The Jews become, "Lo, am I? Not my people." In Acts chapter 9, when Paul is saved, and he says, "He first." I'll just put Paul right here. He is the first one in the church, which is the body of Christ. Paul starts preaching, and more people are getting saved and added to the body, the church which is his body. And then in Acts 28, this is the only church today that exists. This one is "Lo, am I," the Peter and the 12 now. "Lo, am I, not my people." It's put on hold during the parentheses until this time, then this becomes the church. And that's the doctrine, Hebrews through Revelation, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, telling the doctrines for the people at that time period.
And John wrote Revelation, is that right?
Yes. John definitely wrote Revelation. There's a question as to when that was, but...
So I guess I'm wondering, doing Hebrews through Revelation, what books are actually happened.
Past
tense?
Yes.
It was.
But it was all like
it was present and future tense. Because it was actually starting then, but then the program gets interrupted, if you will, when Paul gets saved in Acts 9, and so we're just talking not anywhere from a year and a half to 7 years after the cross. And so this program just gets suspended, put on hold, and it comes back in out here. So, had the parentheses not happened, this would have continued right into here. Peter was right.
He thought it was going on.
This was happening. But then the program changed. And that's why when we get to Paul, and like in Romans in verse chapter 3, when he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Right? It changed when this guy Paul got saved. So when Peter says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," it was. They were going into this. Am I making that clear? I hope.
Yeah, but it just seems like what you just read in 1 Peter is an event that occurred.
It did occur. That's exactly what I mean. It happened here,
yeah.
But it will happen out there.
So I'm sorry. All those books, Hebrews but not Revelation, occurred already in before Romans.
Okay.
Did they occur before Romans?
Yes, it was start. Yes, they all of those books. Or I say that.
I don't know if
I say all.
It was written, but not necessarily all occurred, right?
But the only place it applied was in Jerusalem. These guys never left Jerusalem. So it started, that program started, but then it got put on hold. I'm trying to think of an example
about the
today.
Program, but I'm
just
wondering. Because it's,
you know,
like when we see it on the board, it makes it look like, okay, after.
Romans
revival. Then it starts again, like.
Yes.
And then here it goes.
Yes.
But this. Going on here somewhere.
All that was going on exactly in Jerusalem with Peter and the 12. Even after Paul started, that's why this is gradual. Because while Paul is building the church, which is the body of Christ, throughout southwestern Asia and into Europe with the Gentiles, while he's building that, Peter and the 12 are still getting on with the program, but it's diminishing. So Hebrews and James and what we're reading in 1st and 2nd Peter, that is starting at this time, but then when we get to Acts 28, it stops completely. It gets put on hold, the parentheses start. When the church, which is the body of Christ, is raptured out of here, is called out of here, 1 Thessalonians 4, the 7-year trip starts, Hebrews to Revelations kicks in. The Jews will know it when that man of sin stands up and in the temple and the abomination of desolation begins.
The Hebrews through Revelation, exclude Revelation, Hebrews through 3 John, yes. Yet to come.
Started and yet to come.
And then Revelation is all about.
And Revelation is actually all about, well, this end tells us about that as well. That being the 1,000-year reign, so let's put that up there.
So, Steve, after Acts 28, there was no overlap.
There was no overlap. At the end of Acts 28, so let's go there, because we're done with Leviticus there. Let's go to Acts 28. Kind of interesting that this is going to be 28:28. Acts 28, verse 28. You have a page number or somebody keeping the page?
1392.
Thank you.
1392.
1394. 1394.
28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now right there, we're going to go back and read a few verses before it. That's the key verse. The Jews have just become, lo am I. Let's start in verse 25 now.
Yeah.
And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people, the Jews, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, they didn't understand. They didn't see it. Now verse 28. Be it known therefore, because of the three verses before, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. The book of Acts ends. Okay? And this is when, and like if we compare Scripture to Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3 calls this the dispensation, which is the grace of God.
But this is Paul speaking here, right?
This is Paul speaking here in Acts 28:28.
And Paul would have been talking not about the 12 here, or the 4,000, or the 5,000, or the 3,000, or 4,000, what was it, 3,000, whatever it was. Back there in Acts 3, 4, 5. Paul wouldn't have been talking to that groupage, right?
No, he was quoting, so 25, 6, and 7, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah.
I guess what I'm getting at is he's the separate group of people, as in the nation of Israel versus the little flock.
The nation of Israel, correct.
So
this is national, if you will.
So
this
the overlap,
nation of Jews.
So the overlap is that I was talking about there in Acts 28. I was questioning as to whether the little flock was continuing after 28.
No. Nope. Everything came to a dead stop. The little flock is done.
And that's referenced, be it known therefore unto you. That's the whole nation of Israel.
But he's not talking about the little flock there.
Doesn't mean anybody that's part of the little flock is part of the Jews. Right? Not all Jews are part of the little flock. All little flock are part of our Jews.
Well, you would have to be the ones that sold out, had all things in common, endured to the end, etc., etc.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be the nation, as in the Sadducees and Pharisees and all of the whole system of Israel.
No, it wouldn't, but they are Jews.
Jews first.
And all of these people are, it's like all Texans are American citizens. We did this with a different analogy one time. You're a Texan, you're also an American. But if you're an American, you're not necessarily a Texan. You could be an Oklahomian or a Floridian or somebody else. But all Texans are Americans, whether they want to be or not.
Little flock,
right?
Jews first.
All little flocks are like Texans, if you will, like Texans, because we're also part of the big picture.
I just see it as three groups. I see it as the nation of Israel, as in the ones that rejected Christ, the ones that he said that you are of your father, the devil. I see those people as a different group than the little flock versus the body of Christ, of course.
Yes.
Versus.
Just like Floridians are different than Texans. Absolutely.
Versus,
but we're all American.
Versus saved people being saved, Gentiles being separate from unsaved Gentiles. If I understand that we'd all okay. be Gentiles in that case, but you have saved and you have unsaved.
So let's go back to Acts 4, though, because I'm running out of time here.
I
do want
to
get her rolling.
We got that healing thing figured out, though.
Yeah.
That's important.
All right, so verse 23. Acts 4, verse 23. So we saw why the man had to be healed. Signed to Israel. And so they could be part of the priesthood because they are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, to carry the message to the world like they will out here. So verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, Peter and John here, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, thine hand, God, thine hand, to heal, that and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. That's the first time in your Bible that anyone other than the 12 is filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed, which could be 5,000 or 8,000, like we said earlier, were of one heart and one soul. Now watch, neither said any of them of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Remember, they think they're going into the trip, so they sell out and have all things common. Well, what does that mean? Keep reading. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there, now here's what it meant to have all things common, verse 34. Neither was there among them any that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. End of chapter. We're going to talk next week a lot more about that, having all things common, selling out, selling everything, having the money together, living collectively. And it's not for us today. Let me make sure I'm going to say that today. That is not doctrine for today. It was then, and it will be in the future. It's the only way they'll make it through the trip. Okay? Because they'll have to take the mark of the beast if they want to do business. Therefore, they've got to have all, they've got to stay together, have all things common, be a collective, a commune, a co-op. And we'll see how important it is when we come back next week with Acts 5. What if you didn't do that? What if you didn't sell out? Okay? And it'll be real interesting, just let the Bible says what it says. But we're at the end of Acts 4 and we're at the end of our hour. So, we're going to take a 10-minute break at 10 after 11. We're going to get started. Grab a refill, refresh yourselves.